Would turn to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading in the very first verse. 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the very first verse. The Bible says, "This know also, that in the last day, in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, each ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also." I'd like to preach, the Lord being my helper tonight, on the thought, what will you do because of the times? Dear Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, we thank you for your traveling mercies that's brought us safe to this place once again. Lord, we praise you for the ones that are here tonight. Lord, we understand and know by your word that the individuals that are here by divine appointment and not by accident. And we praise you for that. Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts tonight. We often think of Lydia, the seller of purple, whose heart the Lord opened. And Lord, we pray tonight that that would be the way with us. Lord, use your word to speak to your people. Hide me behind yourself, and I'd be faithful to give you the praise for it, for it's in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen. Now, some fairly familiar verses of Scripture. Paul writing to young Timothy, trying to encourage him in the faith, trying to encourage him that there's no quitting spot, trying to be very honest of what to look ahead for. And, you know, I think that's the problem today in many so-called churches and many so-called preachers preaching a gospel of health. Now, the gospel will be a thing of spiritual health, but don't ever expect that the gospel will be a thing of physical health. Now, if God so chooses, divine healing is under His ability, but just because you're saved does not mean you're entitled to spiritual gifts. It does not mean you're entitled to divine healing. That's under the authority of Almighty God. And he does what seemeth good unto himself. And so, quite opposite to what is preached largely today, Paul tells young Timothy, he paints a separate picture, a little bit more grim than most of us like to know about. In the first verse he says, "This know also." Now, one thing I dare say that we're lacking a little bit in modern day is knowing our Scripture. But he said, "This know also." In other words, you know how it is. If somebody comes with you with some falsehood saying, "Hey, the coming of Christ is already past," you are to know how to address them. You are to know how to answer them. And the Scripture is very clear. So he wants us to be prepared with the Word of God. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." We're going to look at some things in a minute with the Lord's help. Things are not getting better.
Now, I'm not a politician, but I will say this. I was pleased with the presidential election, but Donald Trump is not the answer to our problems.
Right.
And you know what? Despite the improvement, I see a minor improvement, the Bible says things are going to wax worse and worse. And so I don't anticipate good things to just whelm us over in the next 4 years, because the Bible is quite opposite that. Perilous times. Now, when there is a peril, there's always a threat. That's what a peril is. It's a threat. That harm could come your way. You know what? It's not popular to be a believer anymore. Now, when I say that, let me qualify. I don't know how it is here in West Benton, Ohio, but back home in Stewart County, Tennessee, you can't find a lost person, because I've tried. Everybody's Christian, everybody's going to heaven, and everything's just going to be A-okay. But you know what? That's simply not the truth. And when you get them down to, do you know the Lord Jesus? They're done with you. And because of that, sometimes you have to say, well, the Bible says this. And when you say the Bible says it's of divine grace and divine grace alone, it's not a popular statement. They want to do something to be redeemed. They want to do something to be saved. And when you say there's no salvation in works, they get upset. That's the days that we live in. And the perilous times are certainly upon us. The threats are there. And when we began to address those hard issues such as sodomy and abortion and really make a stand, listen, it's peril to you. Now, here among our little group, and you probably have 6 or 7 states represented here right now, it's a safe spot. But out there, it's not. Out there, it's not. And so we see then, very much, I think we're dealing with a last time issue, because the perilous days are on us. Perilous times shall come. Why? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now that is the base problem even today. We like to put self first. That is the natural emphasis of man from the day they're born till they lay us in the grave someday. We like to be first. And we like to make decisions on the way that we want to. You know, if you really, really look at it, the reason the sin occurred in the garden is this, is because they wanted to do what they wanted to do. They thought they knew better than God. And you know what? Don't get down on Adam and Eve, because we think we do too. We think we do too. And so we see then that as the last day is upon us, the best indication is this, that men want to do what men want to do. Now, ladies, I don't mean to be upsetting to you, but when I say men, I don't mean males, I mean mankind, because ladies want to do what ladies want to do too, and we want to do what we want to do, and the whole band is this, that is the depravity of man. Now, the problem is this, we never ever really want to do what's honoring to God. Now, we think we do. And when grace intervenes, maybe we do. But by and large, we are a creature most filthy. And that's not popular teaching today, is it? You know what? When the Lord saved me, He didn't save this flesh. And if you don't believe that, look at the gray hairs here in my temple. It's still on its way down, right? And so we see then that This is the condition of man. We love to care about ourselves, lovers of their own self, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to the parents, unthankful, unholy. Now, I want you to notice two things, and there's so much we could say about that tonight, but two primary things is someone that is a blasphemer against God. Now, we always, want to qualify what that means. Well, listen, if you ever take a position that doesn't coincide with the Word, that's a blasphemer. Because the Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So if you say, you know, well, I'm not so sure what that's teaching, well, what we immediately become is a blasphemer, is it not? We're saying, well, that's not what it says. You know what? The longer I go in this, the more I see we just need to take this book for what it says and move forward with it. We don't need someone's idea. Spurgeon was a bright man. He was a talented writer. But you know what? Spurgeon's writings, newscasts, are not inspired right. They're just a man's ideas about the Scripture, and that's it. And so we see, as the Lord's people, if we could just get back to saying, hey, thus saith the Lord, and go with it. You know what? What I have found is that not really where faith begins. You know, this is the truth. I don't have to understand it all. You know what the Bible says? I think it's in 1 Corinthians 14. I'm not sure about that location. But he says, I have placed some in the church. You know what? I believe there's redeemed people that's not part of the Lord's true church.
Amen.
Do I have to understand that to believe it? No. I just have to say, well, he placed some of, praise God, he placed me in it. And move on. Why do I have to understand that any more than that? You know, is that not where faith begins? And so we see that part of the last day, the last day emphasis would people be the fact where people would blaspheme God. That would put it in His face. Now I'll give you, all you, many of you know these more than me, but for those of you that are younger than me, 1962, Madam Marilyn O'Hare challenged the public school system. Thing of it is, you know, we didn't know it then, our kids didn't need to be down there anyway. But she challenged the public school system, an atheist, an avowed atheist, a God hater from the inside out. And you know what? She got what was coming to her. If you don't believe me, follow her story out. It didn't end like she thought it was going to end. And there goes God. You know, nobody. You know what? The Bible says of itself, the Word of God will not return into it void. And so, you know what? If those little old wide-headed school teachers didn't know one from two, if they read the Word of God from the King James Bible, the Bible says it won't return void.
Yes,
we had to believe something was accomplished by that. And now, and that was taken away, one woman against God, and that was the end result. 1964. The Beatles, and I will say this, the Beatles rock group from London was attacked, and I will say that and mean it as it says, attacked our nation, and our nation has never been the same since. You know what? And when the Bible says it will wax worse and worse, it did. I'm a teenager from the 1980s, and what we had made the Beatles look mild. It really did. And I don't even know what's out there today. Thank God He delivered me from that. But I know what did. According to the Word of God, it has to be much worse now. And again, I don't have no idea what it is, but I must understand that it is worse than it was. And so we had that attack against our nation, 1973, Roe versus Wade. And the legal sanctioning of killing babies happened here in the United States, and it goes on and on today. In fact, when it's even threatened to be limited somewhat, you find them raised up. You know what? God will not hold our nation blameless for that.
That's right.
He will not. You know, I fully believe, according to the Word of God, that life begins at the moment of conception. And you remember when Elizabeth, when Mary went to see Elizabeth, Elizabeth was about 3 months along with John, said the baby left in her womb when she heard that Jesus was on the way. You know, that he knew. That's a person. And now I, th- I think think I read some statistics like something like 17 million babies. I saw another study that said 43 million. Don't know which is right. But you know what? That happened because things are waxing worse and worse. You know, it horrifies me that our nation allows that. But you know what horrifies me more? Is what's getting forced down the road. Because if it waxes worse and worse, and it does, something else is coming. So something more horrible even than that is ahead of us. 1999. Now, some of you won't remember this, but many of you will. Dr. Jack Kevorkian. Remember, we all thought he was an idiot, didn't we? First man to promote physician-assisted suicide. And he looked like a quack. When you saw him on the news, I'm like, who would go to him anyway? But you know what? 2014, the things we thought Kevorkian was quack for is now legal in 4 states. And, you know, I know you hear banjos when you think of Pluto, Tennessee. But as I was looking at this, you know, it's on the docket for our Supreme Court this year. We're taking the lives of people that are too sick to live. Now, I'll tell you where that line of thought goes. And I don't mean to give you the down and outs, because we're going to look at the flip side in a minute. But I'll give you a picture of the future. All of you know Joey, our son. Taking care of Joey for 20 years. In a government like that, he's not useful. That's where that line of thought goes. If you think I'm crazy, well, you look at Nazi Germany and you won't think I'm quite that crazy. It happens. That is things waxing worse and worse. 2014, very same year, we began having physician-assisted suicide, sodomite marriage throughout our whole country, crammed down our throats by liberal states such as California. It makes you think states' rights is not such a bad idea after all, does it? Crammed down our throat. You know what? Y'all come down to Tennessee sometime and we'll have a meeting or something. You'll find we're a very tiny town on the Cumberland River. 2 weeks after it's approved, two women in Stewart County, Tennessee, went and got their marriage from our court. And they just signed it like they were signing a check. That's where we live. That's the day we're at. Things have waxed worse and worse. And listen, you know what? Sometimes I think, well, how can it get any worse? Well, listen, it can. It can be more depraved. It can be more debauched. It can be worse than it is now, because you know what? People who don't say gay marriage, and people who say, you know what? That sodomite's blaspheming the mighty God of heaven. You know what happens to people like us? We get locked up. That's the direction it's going. If that's not waxing worse and worse, what is? See, it's no longer, you know what? We ought to praise God. For a few years ago, we could, for freedom of speech. Now they want to limit what we say. And you know, this is the thing. I don't know. I talked to Brother Randy Titus. He came to Tennessee to perform a marriage down there, somebody, and he says, well, Brother Larry, do we need a license? And I was like, no, we just have to sign off on it. And he was telling me here in Ohio that y'all have to have some kind of certificate or something. You know what? I don't want one. And you know why they want you to have one? And I'm not getting down in Ohio, because most states are like that. Because they want to say, okay, these queers are coming up here and we're going to marry them too. That's what it's really about. And so we see that certainly the Bible's true, and things have waxed worse and worse,
until our churches are almost powerless in the modern day. Verse 3, without natural affection. That means the sodomites marrying. That means us killing our own babies. You know what? Just I was scrolling through the internet a little bit ago, and I saw where this woman was taking care of two neighbor children. She was on meth, and she cooked them babies and ate them. You know what? That's demonic possession. You know, I understand a little bit about meth as a registered nurse. And you know what? Meth is bad stuff, but it don't mean to do that. You know what that is? That's demonic possession. Things are waxing worse and worse and worse. Now, my point is this. Why would you leave your baby with something like that anyway? You need your head examined. And so we see, without natural affection, false accusers. Now, the false accusers works this way. You're a bigot. You go down to that crazy West Mountain church, and if you don't deny that, we're going to take you somewhere. That's a false accuser. And they will come get us. They will be on their way, and they will be trumping up charges on us. And that is the day which we live. We live in a day that's very precarious, and everybody's excited about Trump. But listen, you know, and I'm not going to get political, but you know who really rules our nation? There's two entities that rule our nation, the media and the Supreme Court. That is who rules our nation. And all the Supreme Court has to say is it is this way, and every law agency throughout the land has to do what they say. Read your Bible. Well, you know what the book of Judges starts out with? In the days when the judges ruled the land. And you see what a disaster that was, right? And so we see that we are in the same situation in the modern days. False accusers, incontinent, which means they have no self-control, and we're certainly there. Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, a command to the church, from such turn away. You know, denying the power of God is here. It's upon us. You know, really, if you think about it in the clearest form, Arminian doctrine is denying the power of God.
That's right.
Yeah. Is it not?
Yeah.
And so we see then that we live in a day. You know what? God is still able to deliver all the things that happened in the Old Testament, the apostolic time of the New Testament. We want to box those up and say that's how it used to be. But you know what? If God still wants to close the mouth of the lion, He's still in the lion closing business. He can get the job done. He doesn't have an issue with that. That is the God we serve. What does Malachi 3:6 says? I am the Lord, I change not.
Right.
And so if His character hasn't changed, can you limit the power of God? Certainly can. But in the form of godliness, we worship the idea of God and not the active, strong being of God.
That's right.
And that's where we need to be as a people. We need to worship Him certainly for who He is and what He does. Now, verse 6, for this sort, this type, meaning those individuals, are they that which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. Now, I personally believe, and some of you preacher brother can help me if I'm wrong, I believe it's talking about churches. And I believe the captive silly women are not ladies. I believe they're churches that somebody sells them a bill of goods. Yeah, everybody knows what Campbellite is, right? You know what 90% of the original Campbellite groups were? Baptist churches.
Right.
And Alexander Campbell went into those places and led away captive city women. Some groups that weren't taught enough what the Word of God said, that they were wide open game and took them away. You know, right close to Bermuda, up from our house at the little community called Tobacco Port,
that they took when they flooded the lakes and created Barclay Lake. And this is what I was told about some of the older people in our community. They moved the Campbellite church building from Tobaccoport to Bunk's Mills when they flooded the lakes. And on top of that old Campbellite church, now when they moved it down to town, which Bunk's Mills, if you would laugh and you would say that that's a town, but when they moved it to town, they put Bunk's Mills Church of Christ on it, which they are not. But you know what they took down? Tobaccoport Campbellite Baptist Church. That's what they took off to move. And so I want you to see that the captive city women is a lot of times us. It is supposedly, you know what? What are they captive of? The world. You know what? We don't need to understand the world. The older I get and the more I get along, I understand things. I have less understanding of the world than I ever have, and that's all right with me. That's okay with me. And we don't need, if we're smart in terms of the scripture, that's all we need. So captive silly women, churches being led away. Verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. The faith meaning the truths given to God's people. But they shall proceed no further. Their folly shall be manifest unto all men, but as theirs was also. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, and patience. So we as the Lord's people, we need to understand and know what are we doing because of the times. Where have we compromised? What have we done differently? I want you to go back with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. The Bible says very simply, as Paul's closing out his first letter to the church at Thessalonica, he gives them some commands. And this second one of those is pray without ceasing. So in the times which we live, our prayer life needs to be better than it ever has been before. If you want to know what Jannes and Jambres, when they walk back here through these two doors, you have to be in a condition of prayer. If you're far from the Lord and cold and indifferent, you know what? You'll throw both arms around and welcome them in the door. You know what? We wouldn't be able to do that. And I'm not trying to say, when somebody comes in, treat them like a dog. But I am saying this, I'd watch them. Not everybody has your best interest at heart. And the devil has his out there too, and he always has. If you don't believe that, read Acts chapter 5 and find out about Ananias and Sapphira. He's always inserted them. So in the last days, as we look at the times that we live, the first thing that I would suggest to you is that you have some kind of decent prayer life where you can go before God. And you know what? This is the thing about prayer time. Most of what we do is not prayer. Much of what God's people do is nothing better than passing along a wish list. Lord, please give me a new job. Give me a truck. Give me a car. You know what? We need to just approach God and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. High and mighty and lifted up are your ways. Good is your counsel always. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what? You think about in our own groups, if somebody just began to say, great and mighty and wonderful are your ways. They think that we've lost our minds. Right? Because we're so used to, bless mama and bless daddy and help this one and help that one, that praise is less the equation. And what we need to be doing is giving praise to the very God of the Bible. So when we begin to think about praying without ceasing, and listen, I'll say this. That's a condition of prayer. Now, when you spend most of your time on this thing, and listen, I can clump myself in on that because I catch myself doing this more than I should. And every one of you, if you be honest, are right there with me. This is the modern day teaching. It really is. This come from, you know what? I've been applying for some jobs. My last day at where I work is Friday, and I still don't have a job yet. And I wouldn't have been able to apply for a single job in Clarksville, Tennessee without this. But they've got us wrapped up. So I can't do this and become in any condition much to come before the mighty throne of God. Right? And so we as the Lord's people, certainly we need to be in a condition to pray all the time, that we don't have to be so distant that we have to spend the majority of our time coming nearing the throne of grace. Another thing that He tells us to do in Romans, as the time is progressing along, Romans chapter number 5, I want to go there. Paul writing to the church at Rome, Romans chapter 5, in the very first verse, Romans 5, in the very first verse, the Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I want you to notice that it says we have peace with God through Jesus. Now, if you've not approached, you know what? Even as good as good sound Baptist doctrine is, if you don't approach Him through the person of Christ, you don't have peace with God. Does that make sense? And so, if we don't go on Christ's merit, then we don't go at all. Verse 2 says, "By whom," meaning Christ, "by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations," plural, "also." Do you glory in tribulations? You know what glory means? Most of us don't even know what that is because we're afraid we approach Pentecostalism. But glory means just shedding light on God. Shedding light on Christ, who He is. That's what being glorifying is. And He says here that we would glory in tribulation. So that means when I come and I say, "Mike, you're fired for your stance with God," He says, "Blessed be the name of Jesus." And He walks on out the door. See, that's glorying God in tribulations. And listen, if you don't think that's a realistic possibility, stick around a few more years. It's coming. You know, I think about this often. Everywhere I work now, you don't get any check, never even see paper checks written around because they don't pass. And it all goes through your bank, and those little chips they have now, and thing, you know, you never even see a dollar. And it wouldn't take much to sell that damn week. And you know what? You know who's in control? The one who controls the purse strings. How long could any of us make it if everything was shut down right now? I'd say maybe, and me and Donna, she put up some beans this week, we might have enough food in that house to last 3 weeks. Maybe. See, they have a lot more control than we think they do, don't we? I mean, if we should be honest, they really do. So when they say no more money, are we going to be able to say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord"? It's easy to talk about, ain't it? But when it comes down to it, you say, "Well, you're crazy." Well, I don't think I'm quite as crazy, maybe, as I look. The reality is this. These are last day
events that will happen. So we are to glory in tribulation. When you lose the job for your stand of Christ, when they lock you up for your stance on sodomy, when they when you're street preaching and they arrest you because they say that is not legal anymore, what? It's time to rejoice. And it takes a lot to think about that. All of us know about that's what happened to Paul and Silas, was it not? And see, a lot of people, I like studying that event. But did you know there's some hours missing? They were arrested probably mid-afternoon. And it said along about midnight. See, that's about 9 hours missing, ain't it? I believe Paul and Silas were just like us. And I believe they were thinking, what have we done? What are we going to do now? What's the next step? And then they began to think, Paul probably began to think about that Damascus Road journey. Hearing Paul, persecuted Salome. And they began to think of the goodness of God, the fact that they'd been saved, that God had granted them an opportunity to preach the glorious name of Christ. And they got so excited and so happy. But about midnight, they lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. See, that's what we're going to have to decide, is it not? Amen. That is the way that it's going. Listen, this world is not our home. That this is not where we belong. That's why we're pilgrims and strangers. That's what the Bible says. It says pilgrims and strangers, just as Abraham was. Abraham never settled down. He never owned a home. He never dug in. And the reason why is because he was not at home. Don't dig in. Don't get too settled here, because this is not our home. Go with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter number 6, in verse 10. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now,
how strong are you? That was Paul's desire for the church at Ephesus, and it's the Lord's desire for you to be strong in the Lord. Now, listen, you can't be strong in the Lord and have a pitiful prayer life. You can't be strong in the Lord and not know what that book teaches. You can't be strong in the Lord and have a hit and miss attendance down at the house of God. You cannot be strong in the Lord and say that you have that. It simply cannot be done. This is where we get refueled. This is where we get fed. I know for certain you wouldn't go 1 or 2 weeks without eating, so how could you possibly go 1 or 2 weeks without some spiritual food? The Bible says very clearly, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And the day is approaching. You know what? You know how often you should go down to the house of God? Whatever your church elects to do to have service times, that's when you should be here. Real easy to understand. Our group at Dover, we meet most of the day on Sunday. We start at 10 and we're done by 3. We have a little meal in the middle in there, and we just enjoy each other's fellowship. We meet on Wednesday night. I've heard her say, there's no biblical evidence about a midweek service. Well, there really isn't. I have to say, you're right. But my church elected to do that, so I'm going to be there. You go down to Mexico, the works that Brother Kraft, the Lord has used Brother Kraft to start, they meet Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. That's fine. That's what they've elected to do. And you know what? If I went to one of those churches down there, I'd be there on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Because that's what the church is elected to do, right? And so we see then
But we need to be here to get refueled and to get prepared for what lies ahead. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Get refueled. Be here. And in the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God. Now, Sovereign Grace Baptist people, we don't necessarily like when we're held responsible to do something because we want to blame everything on God, right?
Well, it just wasn't God's will.
Well, let me ask you this. What if Noah hadn't drove the first nail? Right? Would an ark automatically appear out of nowhere? I don't think so. The Bible says, in fact, that Noah moved with vigor, and he had never even heard of rain. He didn't know what rain was. And he moved with fear. So we as the Lord's people, certainly in the modern day, when God gives us something, we need to move with fear. And so this active thing of putting on ourselves the whole armor of God, we need to do that and be deliberate about it. And he says that, why? That we may be able to stand against the wiles or the methods or the attacks of the devil. And so if we don't put this on, then we're open game. And I dare say that's most of us in the modern day. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take on you to the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. That's where we're at. Having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You know, if ever was a time that we as the Lord's people need truth, it's now. You know, if somebody comes to you, and you can do it in a kind way, you really can. I have to be deliberate about it, but I can be kind. If somebody comes to you and asks you, what does the Bible teach about gay marriage? Teaching young people, I get that a lot. And you know what? If they ask me, they open the door. So I'll tell them what the Bible teaches. That's what we as the Lord's people, that we are the ones to stand. But you know what? In the modern day, it's an extent means holding the line. In the modern day, the devil comes by and shoves us, and we're like this, and we've lost 40 feet. And he comes by and shoves us again, and we've lost. You know why? We're down to next to nothing. Because we won't stand. You know what the Lord's churches need to do in the modern day? Get on our face before God and beg for strength. That's what we need. Pastor, brother, you come.